Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Chris Chapman, live inside the Finley Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studios. Finley Chevrolet on the 215, home of the... We are on the eve of the Stanley Cup Final. That is right. We have made it through an entire week of no hockey, and the Stanley Cup Final will start tomorrow. Puck drop at 5 o'clock local time. The Edmonton Oilers taking on the Florida Panthers. We have a full Stanley Cup Final preview for you today. We're going to get into our picks, our predictions as to what we think will happen in the Stanley Cup Final. We're going to give you which team's going to win and who's going to win Conn Smythe. That's coming up in hour number two alongside one-timers, news and notes from around the National Hockey League. We're also going to get to some of the role players, some of the guys that you're not necessarily thinking of front of mind that will have a big impact on this series or have to have a big impact on this series in order for their respective teams to win. We're going to look at five players or so that in order for the Panthers or the Edmonton Oilers to win this series, these players have to play incredibly well. We're also going to be joined by Darren Elliott here in just a couple of minutes to talk about Camp 99. It's pretty cool what's going to be happening later on this summer. If you've got a kid that is interested in hockey, is interested in lacrosse, you're going to want to listen to that conversation. Camp 99 is going to pair both hockey instruction and lacrosse instruction, and that's put on with the Golden Knights and the Desert Dogs lacrosse team. So with all that being said, we've got a packed show, a lot to get to today, and you know, I'm looking forward to the Stanley Cup Final. Like that really is where my mind is going. I know we've had a lot of fun over the course of this week. We've delved into a couple of different topics. We've had some license to be a little bit silly at times. It hasn't been the most in-depth, focused hockey talk because there haven't been any games to really dive into. However, that's all about to change. Like, this to me is going to be one of my favorite shows of the entire season because we get to talk about and set the table on the Stanley Cup Final. Like, this is what you play all year for. This is the moment where hockey is front and center, or at least that's our hope anyway. And when you've got two teams like the Edmonton Oilers, like the Florida Panthers, when you've got Connor McDavid, the generational superstar on the world's stage, you want to tune into that. Like, I'm excited to see what McDavid's going to be able to bring to the table. I'm excited to see McDavid in a Stanley Cup Final, Leon Draisaitl in a Stanley Cup Final. I am excited to see what we can get out of those two players and
great
what
observation.
Degree of greatness we're going to find from both of those guys. Chris Chapman, I'm assuming that you are getting Darren Elliott. You do. You have Darren Elliott. So I'm going to bring on Darren Elliott right now. Darren, I first of all, thanks for jumping on here. Thanks for joining the show. We have missed, and I use the term missed loosely with Darren Millard, we've missed having a Darren on the program, but we have the best Darren joining us now. Darren, how you doing?
Real good, guys. How are you?
You know, we're great, I think. I can't speak for Chapman, but I'm really looking forward to the Stanley Cup Final. I know it's been kind of a trek to get here, 6 days in between the end of the conference finals and the beginning of the Stanley Cup Final, but we're finally here. What is it about this series that is kind of intriguing you the most?
Florida going back-to-back doesn't happen very often, right, to make appearances in back-to-back final. So, you know, They seem healthier this time around. So to me, I'm really intrigued to see if losing the heartbreak last year to the Golden Knights is the impetus for them to win this year.
You know, when you look at the Edmonton Oilers, this is a team that has lost to the eventual Stanley Cup champion each of the last two seasons, against Colorado in the conference final, and then last year against Vegas in the second round. What have you seen that's different about the Edmonton Oilers this go round?
Well, I mean, you've seen it too. I mean, Chris Knobloch comes in. I don't know the man. I don't know anything about him. I know that he coached Connor McDavid in junior, but I really like his soft approach. He came in, he's so understated that right off the bat, you know, the change from the personality of the previous coach, who was seemingly always in the, you know, in, had a microphone in his face, Chris Knobloch, you know, he says a lot of good things, but he doesn't need to be front and center. Not like the coach who's going up against Paul Maurice, who's doing stand-up acts. But from a stylistic, their play away from the puck, they're finally playing without the puck. They were always good enough to go deep, like you said, playing with the puck, obviously because of their talent. But I think by doing that, that means you define the roles. Like when everyone used to say they didn't have depth, to me it wasn't that. Everybody has depth. It's how you use them. Do the guys know that they have a role in helping the team win? Whereas too many times over the years, I thought Edmonton bailed on their depth and just were like, when you do get out there, just make sure nothing bad happens. So it seems like the cultural change has led to a stylistic change or vice versa. And without the puck, and they were impressive, especially the last three games against the Dallas Stars. They were impressive defensively. So you still have the offensive firepower on the power play. The penalty kill has been unbelievable going along the lines with what I just talked about. Their diligence without the puck is so much better than we've ever seen.
Now, I mean, you look at the last three games of that series against the Dallas Stars, and Stuart Skinner, it looks to me like brought his game to a different level. What did you notice about Stuart Skinner from, you know, the earlier goings in the Stanley Cup playoffs versus where he's at right now? Because I think you'd make the argument, I'll make the argument, that he's playing some of the best hockey he's ever played at the professional level.
I'll agree with you, Ryan. Whatever they did in terms of working with him, he's quieter, right? It's just think Aiden Hill, how good he, when he's on his game, there's not a lot of extra movement. Puck finds him. If there's a short rebound, it's a short push. It's not a, you know, an acrobatic move. And by having less movement, he's not as leaky. Pucks were going through him when he had to be spelled a little bit in the earlier playoff rounds. Now pucks finding him, sticking to him, and I'll agree with you, using his size to his advantage, just like Aiden does for us, plays a little deeper when he's on his game. Puck's not going through him. Puck's not finding the back of the net.
Darren, this is a matchup of two goalies. One, I guess, just beginning his career. The other kind of approaching the end of his career. But the layoff, and as a former goalie, how do you approach this? And maybe from the perspective of each guy, like, is it a good thing for Skinner to have this long layoff? Or is it a good thing for Bob to have this long layoff? Or is it bad for both of them? Just how do you approach that?
Well, I was a backup, so I was always on layoff. I know, Chad.
Hey, listen, you were an Olympian, man. You got to be pretty damn good to get there. So.
Apparently. I mean, rest. I mean, it might mean that everybody starts a little bit, you know, a little bit of rust or not hesitancy, but there'll be some getting into it. I don't think it really matters other than the fact that they have a lot of travel inside this series. So that to be as well rested and as healthy as you possibly can be as an athlete this time of year, I think it's helpful for everybody. I think if you were Stuart Skinner, we would love to keep going because as we just talked about, he probably put together three of the best games in a row that he ever had. It's a layoff. I'm sure they manage everything so well now with your rest and recovery and how hard to work the team and what you need to go over as an individual. I don't think once you're past the 10-minute mark, I doubt that there'll be any ramification one way or the other with the 6 days off.
Darren Elliott of the Vegas Golden Knights is joining us here as we talk a little bit Stanley Cup final. We're going to get to Camp 99 in just a little bit, and Darren's kind of heading that up. We'll explain what that is and why it should be on your radar over the summer. But, you know, I want to talk about Sergei Bobrovsky because, obviously, when you look at the goaltender, he has had an illustrious career. He's been at the top of his game really over the last 18 months or so. As you mentioned, he's a big reason why they were able to go to back-to-back Stanley Cup finals in this situation. The only thing he doesn't have is a Stanley Cup. Like, what does a cup do for Sergei Bobrovsky and his legacy?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Two Vezinas, nominated again this year. He's had some down moments where he's lost his confidence, lost his game. Just, you know, an incredible work ethic, legendary for, you know, trying to coaches saying they have to tell him to get off the ice. All of those kinds of things. I think it's what it does for anybody. It validates your career. That's what playoffs and winning in the playoffs does for players and coaches and organizations. And that's why it's what everybody strives for and why it's so hard to get that. To me, I just like how he keeps evolving. You watch now, he keeps his inside edges. He stays on his skates more than anybody. He doesn't default to the butterfly. And that's kind of like a coming back a little bit to how things were done before. But what that tells me is he's so confident in reading the play. And he can wait to the last minute to make that save decision.
So when you look at this series, we've talked goaltending. Let's get into maybe an X factor. That's a term we like to throw around here. But I'm looking at it beyond just the Connor McDavids, the Leon Draisaitls, the Alexander Barkovs, and the Matthew Tkachuks. Like, who are a couple of players that you've got your eye on? It could be all on Edmonton. It could be a mixture of the two teams, but that you believe need to be impactful in this series in order for their teams to win.
I think with Edmonton, Bouchard, he's had such a phenomenal first three rounds. If he's able to play like that, I'll be watching his game a lot. And I guess I have a bent for the blue line because Gustav Forsling on the other side. He's had tremendous three rounds. If there's a drop-off in either one of those guys, that will hurt their team immensely. If they're able to keep that same high level of play, I think that tips the scale, the balance to that team, whoever is able to do that.
Are we talking enough about Gustav Forsling in the playoffs that he's been having? Because it's not just the defending. It's chipping in offensively here and there, too, when his team needs it most. Like, he has been excellent for the Florida Panthers.
He has. I know. I've never talked much about him. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, nice player. Okay. We don't see him very often. And then you see what he's capable of, and he just keeps adding layers. And that's when, you know, they talk about elite athletes and confidence, and how could they not be confident? You certainly can recognize it when they're exuding confidence and are at the top of their game. You know, hard to define, really easy to identify.
Now, I'm a big Paul Maurice fan. I think a lot of people probably are fans of Paul Maurice, but for him to get here, and you mentioned back-to-back years, how difficult it is, how much do you think he's learned from, I mean, a guy who's been around as long as him and coach as long as him? It seems like there's an ability to learn from last year to this year. And how much of an advantage do you think that is?
Well, Seaman, like I said, Chapman, it doesn't happen very often. I think the 08 or 09 Pittsburgh Penguins went back-to-back appearances, and maybe all the way back to the 80 Edmonton Oilers. It might have been the last time teams did that. So, you know, I'm sure he's in a better position. Having been there just as recently as last year. But he even had a quote, it's time for him to win one of these things. You know, so it's tongue-in-cheek, but you know how much it means to him, again, validating an outstanding coaching career. But you don't want it to be, oh, he's one of the best coaches never to have won a cup, if you're a fan of Paul Maurice.
All right, so, Darren, when you look at this series, do you have a pick one way or another? Like, do you have an inclination as to who you think is going to win this series, how many games it's going to go? If I were to put you on the spot, do you have one of those for me?
I have Florida in six. I just, you know, and I'll tell everybody who's listening, I've been brutal at picking the playoffs this year. I have not had one of my better years of prognostication, but I just, the way they play, they're relentless. And, you know, for this time of year, they're very, very healthy. And, you know, by the time you get to that fourth, fifth, sixth game, will, depending on, you know, how those first games go, how will Edmonton look? And will they be, you know, chipped away at enough that Florida breaks through? I think so.
Yeah, I'm not going to give away my pick yet. We're going to do that a little bit later on in the show for Chapman and I. But I keep coming back to the same place, and I just believe the Florida Panthers last year were in too hard up of a spot to really, really sink their teeth into the Stanley Cup final. And a lot of that was Vegas, and yep. That team would not be denied. But I think the Panthers are in a much better place this time around to not go into a series that was over before it even started. So an aspect that
what happens though, right? Like, where does that extra motivation come from? For Florida, they got there last year. For the Golden Knights, when they won last year, it was because they missed the playoffs the previous season. They had a rallying point and a rallying cry. This year, Edmonton, you know, Connor McDavid had everybody come a week before training camp for team building and that kind of stuff. So these teams know they're close. They know they're in their window. So nobody would be surprised if either team won, right? I mean, if I say 4-6, okay, it's here today and gone in a couple of weeks potentially. But both teams are in that winning window. They know it, and they've approached this entire season that way. I mean, Edmonton fired their coach 12 games in or 13 games in. So, you know, like, we can't hope this turns around. We have to turn it around, and they have.
Yeah, and deserve a ton of credit for it from, as you mentioned, Chris Knobloch all the way down to Stuart Skinner, who has done a great job over the course of the playoffs. So let's shift gears, because beyond just being an expert analyst here for the Vegas Golden Knights, you do a lot of different things with the organization that really focus in on youth sports, youth hockey in general. But talk to me about Camp 99, because I know that you're heading it up, and it's a program that's going to take place for later on in the summer, a couple of opportunities. So give me the rundown on that.
Well, the Las Vegas Desert Dogs are really excited that they're going to be playing their games now at Lee's Family Forum. I've been talking to those guys for a couple of years. 2 years ago, I took out the ice at America First Center on one side, had ice on the other, to kind of prove the concept, right, to have ice and cross-training with other sports. So we ran camps that had ice, and then you go over and you play indoor soccer. Ice the next day, and working on different skills each day over there, and then come over and you play lacrosse. One day over here, 7-on-7 football. So with the Desert Dogs, we talked about this a couple of years ago as well, couldn't pull it off. This works out ideally where we have the Desert Dogs providing lacrosse sticks. You don't need lacrosse experience, and we'll be at Lee's Family Forum for the lacrosse portion of the camp, and then we'll be at AFC. Plenty of time for the parents to get between the two buildings in between the sessions and get their players set up for the hockey session. So it runs from the first one for the younger kids, 10 and unders, runs on the 22nd through the 25th, 4-day camp. And then the next week, the 29th, we have the 14U and 12U. And like I said, it's a big demand, so get out there on the website, go to America First Center website, and you'll see the QR code to register and read all about it. You get cool jerseys, says Camp 99, and everybody on the back, guess what number they're wearing? 99.
99, yeah.
Never saw that one coming.
And with Wayne Gretzky played lacrosse as a kid growing up. I lived in Burlington. He lived in Brantford, about 45 minutes apart in southern Ontario. Back in that day, we all played all sports, and our paths were crossed in different sports. So he's part, you know, in the ownership group with the Desert Dogs and the hockey. It just seemed like something to do. We want to provide the opportunities and the families an understanding that, yes, we want you to come to our rinks, but you should be playing other sports as well. And we're trying to facilitate that with a camp like this.
From from a development standpoint, like, why is it so important? And I know that it is, but why is it so important to have a background in not just a singular sport, to not specialize early and have that wider base?
It has to do with muscle development, really, right? Tremendous. I'm at the USA Hockey meetings here in Denver, and they're looking at how much movement young goalies have to make playing in the big nets. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense logically, right? They're having to move too much, and there's a lot of injury that goalies have with groins and hips and knees, and a lot of it is cumulative. And they're saying, are we overtraining young goaltenders? I'm just using that position because the data was there today. Mm-hmm. Are we overtraining them in a singular fashion? And so that's just on the interior of hockey. Do we use smaller nets? Do we do this? Do we do that? But in general, what the data shows is if you play other sports, there's always some crossover ability, right? Especially lacrosse and hockey, mm-hmm. with the hand skills and the body control. But how you plant is different for lacrosse than it is in hockey. How you cut, your body manipulation, all those kinds of things that go into becoming an athlete, and if you want to become an elite athlete, those things are important. That's why other sports, other modes of, well, let's face it, when they're kids, having fun, playing a different game, yeah. actually helps you with your chosen sport if you stay with it long enough and attain a certain level.
You know, when I was a kid, lacrosse was not a very popular sport in the United States. It was largely regional in the mid-Atlantic, yeah. states like Maryland and Pennsylvania. Yep. But in the last, like, I'd say 20 to 25 years, it's become a much more national sport. You see University of Denver has a really stellar yeah. program, and it's now starting
Notre
to move
Dame.
Across. Yeah, yeah, Notre Dame. So yeah. what's kind of fueled the growth of the game? Because it is a really fun game to watch, and I've never played, but it seems like it's a very fun game to play as well. So what's kind of fueled the growth of the sport?
Well, I think that, having the leagues around for a long time and having staying power, like, the Las Vegas Desert Dogs coming to this market, that league's been around for a long time. Like you said, mostly regional. That's the indoor game. It's different than the college game, but having it on television, having access to it as technology, as we know, streaming platforms, there's lots of ways to view it if you want to, and then others pick it up. That's about the only thing I can put my finger on. I mean, it's the same thing with poker. I'm like, poker's been around forever. How come it's so important? Well, because ESPN put it on and showed the whole cards, right? So no matter how much or what those audiences are, it grows little things to be big things. And then I think it's much like hockey. Once you play it, once your parents watch it, because you're right, it is a really fun game to watch. There's not a much better game if you just start thinking about, okay, let me see. You get to run around, throw a ball, and maybe have some body contact. Sounds perfect to me for kids age under 14, right? I mean, mm-hmm. it's like made for it. Roll the ball out there. Go ahead, guys. Go and have some fun. See what you can do with it.
Yeah, and you get to score goals too, and there's nothing
and
more
you get
fun.
To score goals.
than scoring goals. All right, Darren, thanks so much for jumping on, and you've been incredibly gracious with your time here. One more time, let everybody know where they can sign up for Camp 99. If they've got young kids that are interested in hockey and interested in lacrosse, it's a great opportunity. Let them know one more time.
Yeah, America First Center's website, Sun City National's website. If you go into the rinks, you'll see the flyers as well. QR code there, pretty self-explanatory. After that, and we hope to see you on the turf and on the ice.
All right, great stuff, Darren. Thanks so much for joining us here. Enjoy a longer than normal summer, and we'll get back with you when we kick things back up in September.
Sounds good, guys. Good to catch up.
That is Darren Elliott with the Vegas Golden Knights joining us here. We talked a little bit about the Stanley Cup Final, but also Camp 99. Again, if you have young kids that are interested in hockey, that play hockey, that are looking for a camp to do over the summer that involves other disciplines, avenues, in conjunction with the Las Vegas Desert Dogs, lacrosse, hockey, what more could you ask for? Go to City National Arena, sign up, and enjoy a great opportunity over the summer. We're going to take a break, come back with more on the VGK Insider Show.
Interact with the guys on X. Follow them at Darren Millard and at Ryan the Hockey Guy. This is the VGK Insider Show.
You know, what's funny about that clip is that you don't hear the name Wayne Gretzky, not one time at all. And I was told earlier this week in a nice opinion piece column from the Miami Herald that Wayne Gretzky is the only reason that the Edmonton Oilers ever won Stanley Cups. So I'm a little confused as to why Wayne Gretzky wasn't a part of that clip. But hey, nonetheless, it is what it is. Now, Chris Chapman, you and I have had a little bit of fun this week, but we're going to try to hammer in as much as we can on our predictions, our thought process when it comes to the Stanley Cup final, who we believe will win the series, who will win the Conn Smythe Trophy, and really what we're expecting over the next 2.5 weeks in the NHL, because it has been quite a bit of time between the conference finals and the Stanley Cup final getting underway. And we're still not even there. Like, we are within 24 hours or so, but we're still not even there yet. And I feel like some of the momentum has been lost, but right now I want to kick that to the back burner and I want to dive deep into this matchup between the Florida Panthers and the Edmonton Oilers. And so what I wanted to do was compile a list of players beyond the McDavids and the Draisaitls, beyond the Barkovs and the Tkachuks, the X factors or the role players or the depth pieces that can really make an impact in this series. The guys that have to perform for their respective clubs in order to win a championship. And so the first guy that I settled on, and I think that this is a no-brainer, right? We have spent a lot of time talking about him in the Vancouver series. We've spent a lot of time talking about him in the Dallas series. And we spent a lot of time talking about him with Darren Elliott just a couple of minutes ago. Stuart Skinner is the biggest X factor in this series. If Stuart Skinner can continue the run of play that he had in the final three games or so of the Dallas series, then the Edmonton Oilers probably should be the favorites in this series, right? Like, I think the only question mark that you have right now is whether or not Stuart Skinner can continue to play the way that he did in the Western Conference Final. If he does, the Oilers have a great shot. If he doesn't, the Oilers have no shot.
Yeah,
and that's as simplistic as you can make it, but if Stuart Skinner doesn't play well, the Edmonton Oilers are not winning the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, it's funny because when you texted me this earlier today, my initial thought was Stuart Skinner is the most important player in the series. And it's pretty simple because the Florida Panthers have beaten Vasilevsky and they've beaten Shesterkin. In this,
yeah.
And by the way, they beat
and Jeremy Swayman,
a pretty good goalie in Boston. So if Stuart Skinner plays, the thing is Stuart Skinner has to be better than Stuart Skinner. Mm-hmm. Like if he's Stuart Skinner, they lose the series because Florida's going to cave them in. They will put up a ton of shots. Mm-hmm. They will score a bunch of goals and they'll win the series, I think, rather easily. But if Stuart Skinner plays the way he's played after being benched, Edmonton's got a shot. I think more than a shot in this series. Because I think my gut feeling is the two biggest factors in this series are, can Edmonton's penalty kill be as good as they were through the first three rounds? And can Stuart Skinner play as well as he has after the benching? And I think if the answer to those things is yes, I think Edmonton's going to win the series.
Yeah, it's interesting because I my main concern for Stuart Skinner now, and it's funny what a playoff run will do for a goalie and the public perception, but my biggest concern now isn't that Stuart can't do it. Like, he did it. He did it against Dallas. They were one of the best scoring teams in the regular season. They couldn't get anything by him in the final three games. The question I have is, what does this layoff do to him, right? And that's going to be the big thing for me. When you are on a heater, when you are playing well, when you are confident, when you're feeling great about where you're going and where you're headed, you want to play every other night. You just do. When you've got that feel, you don't want to stop playing. And it has been a long time in terms of professional athletes' lives that they have not been playing. And I just wonder if Stuart Skinner is going to hit a roadblock because of that break. So we'll see in game number one what version of Skinner we get. But he is the most important player, not named any of those other guys in this series. Now, from a Florida perspective, I'm going Gustav Forsling all day long because, and as we talked about with Darren Elliott, like Gustav Forsling is being productive, right? He's chipping in offensively. He is recognizing these shifts in series, these moments in games where he needs to step up a little bit offensively, and he's doing it and doing it quite well, but it's not at the risk of what he needs to do to keep the best players of the opposition off the board. Like, he was able to shut down the Tampa Bay Lightning. He was able to shut down the Boston Bruins. He was able to shut down Zibanejad and Kreider and Artemi Panarin. Like, everyone talks about Sasha Barkov as being elite and great as a two-way center, but Gustav Forsling has been the shutdown wizard for the Florida Panthers. And if you're going to keep Connor McDavid in check, that's the job of Gustav Forsling first and foremost. And if he's able to do it, the Panthers win. If he isn't, the Oilers win.
You know, and it's funny because I had a conversation with someone earlier today, actually, about they asked me why Florida was so successful against the Rangers. And I said, because they shut down the top players on the New York Rangers.
Yeah.
Like, outside of Igor Shesterkin, the Rangers got nothing. They got, outside of Trocheck, there was nobody who produced in that series. None of their stars stepped up.
No, hold on. Lafreniere and Trocheck were the best offensive players in that series for the New York Rangers.
Right. And Lafreniere, I mean, I don't look at him as the difference maker on that team. Like, it's great you got production out of him, but you needed the other guys to step up. And you look at that series and you're like, Artemi Panarin, MIA. Chris Kreider, MIA. Mika Zibanejad, milk carton. You know, like this is who the Florida Panthers are. They are a very good defensive team, as evidenced by what they've done to both Boston and New York in back-to-back series. And a big part of that certainly starts with the way Gustav Forsling's played, but the best part about that is they've got a lot of offensive production out of Gustav Forsling as well. So he's getting it done at both ends of the ice for them, and he's been, I don't think he's like the Conn Smythe guy, but he's certainly been a very integral part of what they've done to get to this point.
You know, it's funny because I unironically had Gustav Forsling on my Conn Smythe watch going into the conference finals. He's there for me. He's never going to win it, but he's there for me. Okay, this feels disingenuous because he scored 50 goals in the regular season, but Zach Hyman is an X factor simply because he cannot stop scoring goals, right? Like, when you have 14 goals going into the Stanley Cup final, you can't have a bad series. You can't have an off night. You can't just all of a sudden not be able to put the puck in the back of the net. Connor McDavid, this postseason, has been a setup guy. Leon Draisaitl is not scoring at the clip that he was before. He is helping to set things up. It has been a much more balanced attack from the Edmonton Oilers in terms of guys putting the puck in the back of the net. But the one exception to that, the most consistent guy scoring goals, has been Zach Hyman. And if he does not score, that means Edmonton is not getting pucks to the front of the net with traffic. And if they don't do that, they're not going to beat Bob. So Zach Hyman has to continue to score at a similar clip in this series as to what he's been able to do so far in the postseason. Otherwise, I don't know if the Oilers are going to be able to score enough on this stingy Florida Panthers team.
Yeah, he's got 14 goals in the playoffs. Five of them have come on the man advantage. But when I look at this team, I look at them, and I know Hyman has had the goals. But I kind of look at Hyman and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins as almost like a pair. And when I say that, what I mean is they could have a bad series from one of them, But if both of them have a bad series, Edmonton could be in trouble because I think they need production from at least one of those guys. And Hyman's had the hot hand. So you have to think that maybe he's the guy that Florida keys on. And maybe that opens things up for some of the other guys on the team. But I'm with you. Zach Hyman, he's got an opportunity to maybe chase some history as well, which will certainly be interesting. The longer this series goes, the more I think likely we see him potentially having a chance at history. But yeah, he's been a huge part of Edmonton getting here, and he's going to be a huge part of their plans if they end up winning this Stanley Cup.
Do you consider Zach Hyman a superstar?
No, but I think Zach Hyman's a really good player.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm right there. Like, and it seems weird to say that when you score 50 goals, but I can't put him there. He's an incredibly hard worker. He goes to the really dirty areas to score goals. He takes a beating time and again, but it takes a special skill set to be able to play with incredibly skilled players. Hyman knew how to maximize his skill and the skill of an Austin Matthews. He's been able to do it alongside Connor McDavid. That is something that can't be lost in this, but I don't put him in that next tier because I do think you need that hyper-skilled superstar alongside Zach Hyman in order to get the best out of Hyman. Okay,
I look at it this way with him. He's got essentially 200 career goals. 54 of them came this year. So 25% of the goals that the guy scored in his entire career, 580 games, came in this season. So I need consistency before I throw him in the category of superstar, but he is a really good player, and I think he's found a home in Edmonton, and maybe a little more on that later.
Okay, so Sam Bennett is X-Factor 2.0, right? Like, this is a player that can change a series with a hit. He did it in Boston against Brad Marchand. You can be upset about it. You can say it was dirty. You can say it was over the line, whatever the case. You can say he should have been suspended. That's the potential of Sam Bennett, the physical player. Sam Bennett, the cerebral hockey player, Sam Bennett, the guy that has a nose for the net, Sam Bennett, the guy that can drive offense, can win you a game by himself. He can. He's got that type of skill. So when you look at this series, I think for the Florida Panthers, if there was one downfall for the Dallas Stars against the Edmonton Oilers, they didn't make it hard on Edmonton Stars. They didn't make it hard at all. There was barely any hitting from the Dallas Stars. Barely any hitting. Not every puck was contended by Dallas in their series against Edmonton. When you look at Vancouver, and even to some degree when you look at LA, they made life miserable on the Edmonton Oilers. There were going to be hooks, there were going to be cross checks, there was going to be obstruction, and like, I know penalties exist. I'm not expecting a ton of penalties in the Stanley Cup final, but you've got to find the line, you've got to make sure you understand the standard, but then you've got to try to really, really, really muddy the track against the Edmonton Oilers. I think the Florida Panthers will do that, and leading the charge will be Sam Bennett.
Yeah, he's a guy who is no stranger to mixing it up. He plays with a lot of liberties, or he takes a lot of liberties when he's out there playing, I should say. He's tough as nails. And I think that's, you mentioned Dallas, and you think early in the series against Golden Knights, and they were out there throwing their bodies around and they were hitting, but then they got away from it and they never really found that aspect of their game again. And I think, as you mentioned, they didn't make it hard on Edmonton. And Florida is I think they're an image of their coach. And Paul Maurice is a guy who he's a bit hard nosed. And you listen to him talk, and I would imagine he's a pretty hard ass coach to play for. Like, he just strikes me as a guy who's a hard ass, and probably one of those guys where you hate him when you're out there practicing, but you love him when you're having a conversation with him. And I think it's a reflection of the way this Florida team plays. And Sam Bennett is the guy who he goes out there and he kind of leads the charge. And I think the important thing for him is just don't take bad penalties. Like if you're out there and you're hitting guys and you're not taking penalties, that's a huge, huge advantage for Florida.
Or if you're gonna take a penalty, make it worth it. I know that sounds archaic, but if you're going to take an interference penalty, if you're Sam Bennett, you better absolutely get all of that hit. That's all I'm saying. Like, you look at last year, Vegas and Florida. It was Ivan Barbashev with a massive hit on Radko Gudas that set the tone of that series early on. That's the type of thing I'm looking for from Sam Bennett. Okay, last one, and we got to go quick here. To me, it's Darnell Nurse. And it's Darnell Nurse because when he's good, the Oilers are great. When he's bad, the Oilers are terrible. I can't really explain it any more simply than that. Darnell Nurse has to be good. Because if he's not good, the Oilers suck. It's really that simple. And the way that he is able to defend, it really does have a trickle down to the rest of the team, to the rest of the lineup, to the rest of what Edmonton does in their own zone. So, like, Darnell Nurse cannot be bad. If Darnell Nurse is bad, it is going to be a short series for the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, I feel like he's a guy who's constantly the butt of jokes on this show.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I think he's earned that. But he's been good in the playoffs, and I think it's a big part of why Edmonton's had success. You're right, though. His inconsistency, and I think in the past, has cost this team. And he's a guy who, with what he makes, you look at that salary, you're like, yeah, he should be a guy who's a leader. He shouldn't be a guy who's out there playing poorly in key situations. And we'll see. I don't have faith that Darnell Nurse is going to have a very good series, but mm-hmm. I think you're right. If he's bad, forget it. Like, I feel like there's what we're talking about here, there's more pressure on some of the role players for the Edmonton Oilers mm-hmm. to step up and have big series, because I feel like Florida is a deeper team and they've got the ability to have maybe an off game or off night from some of their better players. Whereas with Edmonton, if their role players are not good, there's going to be some trouble in that series for them.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Take a break. Come back with more. Set up hour number two of the VGK Insider Show.
Back to the Findlay Chevrolet Studios and the VGK Insider Show with Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Chapman, are you excited for the Stanley Cup Final?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think it's evidenced by some of the highlights.
Convincing. Oh,
well, by the highlights I've played coming back, I say, yeah, I'm definitely excited for it. You know, it's always bittersweet, though, because you know that there's at most 7 games left in the season, and then there's no hockey for, like, 4 months.
So has the 5 days between games soured you a little bit? Is it have you lost momentum? That's the question.
I think a little bit, you know, but fortunately, I get to talk it every day, so I've been able to stay mm-hmm. in tune with it. But if I was a casual fan, I'd be pretty disappointed, because I'm like, oh, I was just watching these great games, and now all of a sudden I got to wait a week? Come on. Let's go, guys. What are we doing?
Well, we're waiting, Chapman. That's what we're doing. That's what we've been doing all week.
There's no dramatic buildup here. Like, they should have started playing on Wednesday.
You know what the dramatic buildup was? The conference finals.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the dramatic buildup.
And then you lose all that
Hour
momentum.
Number two coming up next. Yeah. Hour number two is coming up next on the VGK Insider Show.